So I'm really blessed to be here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a scripture. And as I was reading it, the Lord said, I want you to pick out some statements from here, because there are people in this church that they're prophetically for. And so I'm going to bring up some statements here from this passage that are prophetically in line with what God is going to release promises on you. Okay, so they're just not just reading a scripture or expounding an understanding of the Bible, but actually I'm going to pick out some things because stuff's happening in your life and God wants you to know that he loves you, he's for you, he's with you, he's in you, and he's going to use you and he's going to move on your behalf. Then I'm going to pick up on some specific needs or difficulties and challenges that I believe the Lord is saying that are happening in this church. By the way, I haven't spoken to anybody. He hasn't had a word with me about it. And so I'm just going to pick up, and God is going to set people free this morning. He's going to reverse things that have gone wrong, and he's going to remove stuff that has absolutely handicapped you. And he is going to, I believe, he said this more than anything else. The reason he wants me to speak on this passage is this morning he wants to refresh his people. Amen. Okay, so turn to somebody and say, he wants to refresh you. Amen. So this is funny, this. I feel as if, I used to be in a Baptist church and I had to stand next to the altar, and then I was on a plinth, and then the plinth finished there. So before that, when I was in Africa, I'd wander all over the place when I was speaking. But after 8 years of standing like that, and I feel as if I'm coming back to that position. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to read from Isaiah 35 and just bring a few thoughts from this passage. And then I'm going to expound it a little bit more. And then we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, if there's a lack of assurance that you'd be left behind or anything like that of your eternal destiny, I want you to pray to receive Jesus. To bring assurance and faith and confidence to know that you belong to him and he is inside of you, washing away your sin because he loves you. He died for you on the cross and he wants to live inside you, to move through you and open up a wonderful plan that he has for your life. So if that's you, we'll do that. But I will be wanting to pray for the sick and those that have been attacked by the enemy, and we'll see where that goes, okay? Let's read this passage. Isaiah 35, 1-8, the New Living Translation. Even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses, or as a rose in the AV. Yes, there will be abundance of flowers, singing and joy. The deserts will become green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as the Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. I didn't know what Russell was going to say, but he said to me, there would be people here that needs to hear this, that the Lord this morning is going to release a spirit of refreshment on people. Because you, as I say, I didn't know he was going to say that. He wants to strengthen, you love the Lord, but you've been through hell and back, and you've had some really heavy challenges. And the Lord's here this morning to bring new strength, to renew your strength. Amen. Your heart wants to go after God, but your body and your mind and your emotions and all the stuff that you're having to contend with, we want to see a move of God on you where he strengthens you. The Bible says this in Isaiah 40, doesn't it? Those that that we looked at, some people just utterly collapse. But those that wait or depend or look to the Lord will renew their strength like being carried on eagle's wings. Amen. Amen. Always remember many years ago, I can't remember the guy's name, Charles Simpson? And he said how eagles, you know, they train their young to fly. They live on the precipice of a high rock. And when they get to a certain age, they look after them. When they get to a certain age, they come back and they start dismantling the nest with the babies inside. And there's a 4,000 feet drop below. So the little eaglets are getting really worried. Until there's only one branch left and they're all like this. And then he takes that last branch away and they're in free fall. And I think, oh, goodness me. My mum's trying to kill me. And just as they're in free fall, the eagle comes, catches them on his wing, and lifts them up higher. And then he drops them again. And they go into free fall again. He catches them again, lifts them up higher. And you know, maybe you feel like you're in free fall. Well, the Lord's going to catch you again today. Amen. Amen. You know that you can't rise higher in your own power. Amen. Personally, I would like it to be a little bit less risky than that. But you know, that's how eagles teach their young to fly. And what you've been through has been because God wants to develop you to soar into the heavens. And I can see why here in this church, because there are spiritual people in this church that have a capability of seeing amazing miracles happen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's have a look at this one. Verse 4, those who say with fearful hearts, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God is coming to destroy your enemies. This is what he said to me, to tell you. I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know what you're going through. I've not been in conversation with anyone in this church. But he's coming, it says there. He's coming to save you. Amen. God's coming to save me. Just turn to somebody and say, God's coming to save me. And not just from sin and not just from hell. He's coming to save you in the situation and the difficulties. God's on his way. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through, what's happening, how you're feeling, but God's on his way. He's coming to save you. Obviously, I'm not doing an exposition on this passage because it has to do with Israel. But the prophetic word has 1,000 directions and applications to it, and the Lord wants me to apply it in this way. Verse 5, when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unplug the ears of the deaf, the lame will leap like a deer, Those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness. Streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where jackals once lived. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will only be for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Just felt the Lord was saying this about this passage to this situation, that he not only wants to save you and catch you and refresh you and strengthen you, but he wants to change you into the nature of Jesus. I don't believe God's raising up this church for second-rate Christianity. I think he wants to bring a highway of holiness.
Amen.
You know, you can have a lorry load of coal or a pocket full of diamonds.
Very good. I like it.
And what we're looking here is a pocket full of diamonds. Maybe some of you transition, I mean, coal and diamonds do have a relation. The difference is the diamond's been through an awful lot of pressure. And I believe that God's brought diamonds here. This is why I'm here today, to tell you who you are and that God has got a plan for you and this church that is very significant, because there's quality in this church and God wants to bring holiness. Amen. He doesn't want to bring cheap grace. He doesn't want to bring the lowest common denominator. He doesn't want he's raising you up because he wants you to be a testimony of New Testament life and Christianity, where you not only talk the talk, but you actually look like Jesus as well. Amen. This is what we need. Because you see, behind holiness is a spirit of power.
Amen.
Behind holiness, alongside your words, there will be a reflection of glory. Amen. And so when you're talking to people, just in normal things, if God starts to transform you into the nature of Jesus, then glory will shine out of you. And even if you're not very good at talking, the light will bring people under conviction of sin and transformation of life. Amen. This is God's plan for you. And then it says, lions will not walk there, nor any ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with the joy and gladness. And I felt the Lord say very, very strongly, tell them, They've been ransomed by the Lord. Amen. God's ransomed you. What does that mean? The best thing I can say, you know, in certain countries, if you go there, they'll put you in prison, won't they? There's certain places that I won't go unless the Lord tells me to go. But there are certain countries that will kidnap you. They will hold you, and then they will phone up Rishi Sunak and say, you're not getting Dave Latham unless you give us £1 billion. There are places like that. And the devil has tried to kidnap you and lock you in a dungeon. Close you down, kill your life, block your reach. But the Lord's told me to tell you, He's redeemed you. He's redeemed. You're ransomed. Amen. And so we're going to pray for people who feel they're trapped or they've been blocked or whatever. And we're going to command, they just like with Peter when he's in jail. He's in jail and there's about 14, I don't know how many, you're probably cleverer than me, but there was certainly a number of doors before he was able to get out that prison. And the angel opened all those doors up for him. And there's someone here that they've been, the enemy has just absolutely locked them down. Well, the angel of the Lord, you've been ransomed by the Lord, and the angel of the Lord is going to start to open doors for you. Amen. My wife reminded me, she didn't know I was going to mention this, but she was reading it the other day, and she said, you know, the only door that he couldn't get through was the one in the back into the church. That is her revelation. I shouldn't tell you that. Amen. And the last thing in this passage, felt the Lord was saying, was this. They will return and enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy, and sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. And I felt the Lord was saying, there's been a lot of tears here for some people. Might be just one. Might be many, but you've had your sorrows. Perhaps there's somebody here with a broken heart or a broken spirit because you've tried so much and hit so much disappointment, trial and difficulty that has crushed you. Well, the Lord said, and it's affected you. It's affected you. And God's here to bring joy. He's going to bring joy this morning. He's going to release joy. And behind the joy will come hope again. Amen. Because when you lose your joy, you lose your hope. And if you've lost your hope, you have no platform for faith. Because you're in free fall. And this is where the angel, the Lord will catch you on his wings. And he poured joy. God wants to pour joy into your spirit again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, just want to bring out some statements from this. Some not statements, but observations about this passage, because I think there's been specific areas where we need to pray with people. And I call this section the landscape of your life. I was off to preach in Birmingham the other week, and it was quite interesting because I said to Sue, I don't know how I'm going to get there because there's a train strike on. So she said, well, why don't you just go down in faith? She didn't put it quite as, but that's where she was going. So I said, yeah, I feel I should do that. So on the day, I went down and there was a train on. So I jumped on it. I practically had the whole carriage to myself because everyone thought it was a train strike. So, and I'm on my way to Birmingham, and I go through first of all Lime Street, which is basically carved out of sandstone, isn't it? It's like it's like a cave coming out of a cave, and then you get to Edgehill Station, which is like massive railway place everywhere. And then you come through the residential area of Wavertree. Then you come past Ford's round here somewhere. And then you get a little bit of greenery, and then you get to the Runcorn Bridge, and then as you between the lattice of the bridge, you can look out into the Mersey estuary headed towards the Irish Sea. And then you go into Runcorn again, which is a bit industrial. And then after that, you go into nice farms and you see all the cows in the field and the sheep and the barley and the wheat. And it all is just lovely and lovely. And then you come to Crewe. And so it goes on. Well, life and our journey with the Lord is a bit like that. We go through different landscapes. You're in a particular landscape right now. Some of you might be completely bombarded with all sorts of stuff. Others are just going through green meadows of joy and peace, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And then some of you are going through a cave. And in this passage, it's quite interesting. The different types of landscape. And I just want to point them out because different ones here will be at different stages on their journey. First one, I'll just say what they are: the wilderness, the desert, the wasteland, the thirsty land, and the parched ground. There's probably more, but I've just picked those five, right? The wilderness. We saw that, didn't it? The wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wilderness. Now, a wilderness is in Africa where we were, we would call it the bush, or, you know, there'd be bits of trees and bits of this, but the land is basically, it's not really being farmed, it's not whatever, but it's sort of a wilderness. When we were in Zimbabwe, we weren't in the main cities, and there was parts of it. I thought where I lived, I thought Tarzan could be coming out the trees any minute, you know. And the thing about the wilderness here is this. It's a place where no one lives except dangerous animals. I mean, where we lived, there were snakes everywhere. The guy who owned the farm that we bought it off, he bred the worst snakes in the whole of the world to get over his phobia. He didn't tell us this when we bought it. But when we got there, we noticed that he bred all these snakes. We had, you know, we had a nest of black mambas in our roof. You know, they're the ones that bite you, and in 2 minutes you get in a coma, in 5 minutes you're dead. I remember I was doing a teaching session. I'm only 28 at the time, and I'm doing a teaching session. One of the students said, oh, I've got to go to the toilet. So he might have put it in a bit more discreet than that, but we wanted to go to. So I said, go, and I could see the toilets from where I was teaching. There was glass there, and they had a sort of toilet block there. And I remember his name was Phineas, and I was in the middle of John's Gospel or something, and I noticed Phineas running at speed from the men's toilet, half naked, with a Mozambique spitting cobra following him like this. Hallelujah. Well, God doesn't want spitting cobras following you. Amen. And there are people here that love the Lord, that are called by the Lord, that God is wanting to use them. And they've been through a terrible time because they've been under attack. If you're under attack, we want to pray for you that attack of the enemy, because I don't know whether you notice, it says this, doesn't it? Lions will not lurk on its course, and ferocious beasts won't be there. There won't be any dangers, only the redeemed of the Lord. And you're under attack, and we want to rebuke those things that are attacking your life, perhaps your ministry, and that it will be broken in the name of Jesus. Okay? Hope that doesn't frighten you. But you know, God doesn't want you to feel that you're under attack all the time. Amen. In fact, if any snakes have the audacity to approach you, he wants you to stamp them on the head. You're not coming on my family or my church or my life. Amen. So you might find that in your journey right at the moment, you're under attack. This wilderness, this one here, desert. My dad was in the Second World War, and before Monty got there, he was chased up and down the desert by Rommel in his German panzers. And his mates were getting shot to pieces. So he got a nice job in Cairo in the office because he passed the 11 plus. Otherwise, he probably would have never come back and I wouldn't be here. But I remember he brought these paintings or photographs, actually, of the desert. It wasn't like the wilderness. It's just sand dunes, but with nothing. 10,000 square miles of sand dunes, just sand, no bits coming out. And sometimes people, Christians, their ministry or their life or what they're involved in, it's like a desert. Now, the thing about the desert, you can put as much seed in there as you like, but in a desert, nothing grows, nothing flourishes. And it isn't that you're not sowing. It isn't that you're not doing all what you should do. It's just that the landscape that you're trying to do it in is a desert. And I feel the Lord's here that if you find that you've been sowing and working hard and praying and interceding, but you've really felt that I'm not seeing any fruit. I've invested so much of my time, my life, my energy or whatever. And it isn't that you've done it wrong. It's up here we've got to command the desert to blossom. So God puts a spirit of, God wants to put a spirit of fruitfulness on someone. Amen? I mean, when God puts a spirit of fruitfulness on you, you can be the worst preacher in the world and you'll have the biggest church. And you think, well, how has that happened there? I'll tell you how it happened. Spirit of fruitfulness has come on you. Amen. So whatever you invest in, the blessing of God just comes on it. Amen. And that's what happens with people in the ministry. They labour so much. And it's not that they've done anything wrong. But there are those times and seasons where you might find that you're in a desert and you're trying to sow. And you're trying to invest. You're trying to do stuff. But no matter what you do, you're not seeing any reward for it. God wants you to be fruitful, successful, blessed, anointed. In fact, it says there, the words like flourish. blossom, increase. Amen.
Amen.
Wasteland. You get that word coming in, wasteland. I was born not so long after the Second World War, and when I walked, I lived right by the docks, right by the docks. Basically, I could walk, I could turn left, I could walk about 100 yards, and there were wood yards, and beyond the wood yards were the ships. It was that close. So when I was born, as I walked out my front door, there was half the streets. When I say half the streets, and a couple of hundred yards of what we call debris. The place was bombed all over the place. My mother said that with my two older brothers, she was running down Marsh Lane, and said the German planes were shooting at them. Now, this landscape was wasteland. It was debris. Now, the thing, difference between a desert and a wilderness and a wasteland is this. On that debris, there used to be houses. There used to be people. There used to be a community. See, a wasteland is a place that was used once. A wasteland is where something happened once. And for many people, the enemy has just demolished everything around them. And the Lord's saying today, you know, you might feel, the Lord used to use me once. I used to feel his anointing once. I used to feel I had a purpose once. But it's all been demolished. Well, the Lord, word of the Lord today, if there's something, it may well feel that you feel like that, that the Lord used to be used by the Lord once. Well, the Lord's saying this. The place that is being abandoned is going to be used again.
Amen.
Amen. God's going to use you again. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I'm knocking it up, and there's a real reward in not having to carry a church. But a lot of people said, oh, are you retiring, Dave? I don't believe Christian. You retire from a job. You don't retire from a call.
Very good.
But the call changes. So a lot of people were saying, oh, well, you just go on your holidays and, you know, make sand pies with the grandkids and, you know. And it might well be you feel, just I've got a word for you. The Lord wants to use you now. The Lord wants to use you now. There's somebody here, and the Lord wants to use you again, and he wants to use you now. Amen. Might be different. Might be different to where he'd use you again, but he's going to rebuild the wasteland. the land that you was used once. Hallelujah. God never gave up on you. And he never chose you in the first place because you did everything right. In fact, I'm sure the angels, when they picked me and you, they scratched their heads and thought, what's he doing? Hands up if you can identify with that. Amen. I sometimes think, you know, he's looking down on me and the angel's saying to God, looking down on me, thinking, what's he getting up to? Hallelujah. Parched ground. This is a place that is adapted to drought. It hasn't rained for so long. It's that can't remember the last time you saw a move of the Holy Spirit, either in your life or what you're doing. It seems like a distant memory. You know, in Africa, of course, Russell and all them, they'll know all this. We used to have this lake, and it amuses me when we get no rain for 3 weeks here, and it's, oh, we're all going to be dead by 2030. Where we were, it stopped raining around about the 17th of February, and then you wouldn't see a drop till round about the 17th of November. You might get a bit, it just in, you know, a little taster in October, but generally November. So we're talking 9 months, no rain. So we had this lake. And round about September, the lake was dry. By October, just early October, if you went to see the lake, you wouldn't see a lake. All you would see is the bottom of the lake, and it had big, thick cracks in it where even the bottom of the lake was starting to dry like concrete. And I remembered one of the people telling me, he said, there's fish in there. I said, are you feeling all right? He said, no, there's fish in there. They're called mudfish. And what they do is they bury themselves in the bottom of the soil of the lake, and they basically hibernate. And then when the rains come, the runoff's amazing and the thing fills up, out they pop again. There's some Christians like that, you know. They're in the landscape for them, it's like drought. They're thirsty for God, they want God, they're looking for God, but the rain doesn't come. The move of God doesn't come. The blessing doesn't happen. And if one disappointment after another, feel I'm talking to somebody. So what, you love the Lord, you treasure his word. So how do you deal with that? You adapt to drought. I remember I was working with somebody once and said, I don't expect anything, so I don't get disappointed. The leader of a church. You see, he'd adapted to drought. He lowered his level of expectation. He'd given up really in hope. Thought, well, at least I'll be going to heaven. At least it was good while it lasted. God wants to outpour his Spirit on Gateway Church today. Amen.